This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Stop. Drop. Come on, Ev.
You didn't say it.
I was giving you the alley-oop there.
But you can't just mouth it and not say it.
I said it.
You said it?
I said, stop. Drop. And then I threw it to you.
Shut him down. Open up. Whoa.
Oh, open up what?
I don't know what I said. I said open up the shop. The shop was closed. You got to open up the shop so we can.
Pardon? Open up what?
I don't know what I said. It's been a weird day.
So before we get into Russell Wilson and his upcoming Steelers career,
right.
Sometimes in our breaks, we have content that should make it to air.
Well, and I think sounds like it's about to.
I think that just happened, and I would like to share it with everyone. Mm-hmm. So we just had a great conversation with Tim Legler, and that continued over into the breaks. And you gave an NBA take at the end. And Leg said that, like the Clippers, as Ty Lue described them, that he thought that was soft. It was a soft take.
Right.
So
I said to him,
yeah,
I don't think the Celtics are going to end up in the finals. And he said, who do you think is going to be?
Well, first he said, whoa, you're crazy.
Right. And then he said, well, who are you going to pick? And I said, I think the Bucks. And he said, like, can you say that with any kind of passion? That is such a soft take. It's like, you're like, I think the Bucks.
That's yeah, how I think
he was
the
imitating
Bucks.
Me saying that way. I think the Bucks could. I think the entire Vegas East crew, the Charmed watch party going on in Bristol, thought
Charmed
I was going to say the Heat. I'm not saying the Heat won't. I'm just saying I don't know.
You're still doing it. Soft takes.
Soft exactly. takes. Soft takes.
Because you've hit. Because what you've done. Because you, to be fair, you have said that you don't believe the Celtics will make the finals throughout this whole NBA season.
Yes, that's not a new take.
Yes,
for me.
That's not a new take. But I think. And I might be wrong, but I think you've done it under the prism of they are soft and that a team like the Heat can actually beat them.
Well, I think your team, the New York Knicks, I think there's too many teams in the Eastern Conference that could beat them up. I think the Knicks can beat them up. The Knicks are 21-4 in games this year where they've held opponents under 100 points. Which, what's more impressive than the record is the number of times they've actually held opponents under 100 points in the NBA today, which is so rare. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For some reason, I think everybody just pencils in the Celtics to go to the finals, and I think they could be thrown off a little bit. And yeah, so maybe I had a little bit of a soft take because I just said the Bucks. But
you did say maybe the Bucks.
You know, Leg said something else during the break
about movies.
So Tim Legler revealed to us.
Oh yes, yes. I know where you're
that
going.
When he can't sleep. He'll throw on a movie.
He enjoys and has seen many times, which I think a lot of us do.
Right. Problem is, Legs told us he throws on either Lone Survivor, a war movie, or The Exorcist, a murder movie, right?
That's his calm down, let's go to sleep movie, is The Exorcist.
What? And let me add, I then said to him, do you go to another room to do this because he is married. He says, no. So at 2 o'clock.
He said, I'm in bed.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, he puts on a murder movie, and then like his wife will randomly wake up and she's waking up to people killing people.
An exorcism.
Not ideal.
The fact that.
I mean,
that's
what would you pick?
If I couldn't sleep.
Oh, I have my picks.
Well, and my wife is obviously next to me, and I felt like I had to get up. I would go to a different room. Must be nice. Okay,
multiple rooms must be nice.
Yeah, this guy, jeez.
I mean, really? So, yes, I would go to a different room. There has to be a level of respect and decorum, correct?
I guess, depending on what you're watching. Like, when I can't sleep, I always throw on The Office. I've seen it a million times. It's a great show. It's also not a show I have to be totally locked into, and I don't feel like I have to fight to stay awake, even though I love it and it's so entertaining. I can peacefully drift off to sleep listening to Michael Scott bumble his way through something. Whereas The Exorcist, I don't know if that's going to lull me into my desired bedtime.
That doesn't seem like the kind of movie you want to watch to get to sleep. But if I can't sleep or if I can't, like if I'm, I don't know, I'm just like tossing and turning or I'm during a day, I'm bored out of my mind. I need to put something on television. What I do, I'm not going to lie on this.
Oh my God. Do you watch basketball?
I YouTube old Tom Brady games.
Oh, Jesus.
It's entertaining.
Have you no shame? That might be the most embarrassing thing you've ever said.
Why?
And that's saying something, because we've said some embarrassing stuff on
the
show.
I'll say anything. I don't care. I mean, why is that embarrassing?
Because you didn't even say old Patriot games.
Yeah, you said old Tom Brady.
Oh, no. Games. I will not watch a Bucs game. Okay, fair. Old Patriots games with Brady as the quarterback. Yeah, I'll do that.
No, you said Brady games because you're trying to watch him.
I will not watch Bucs games.
Just imagine your Google history is just like Tom Brady highlights 2007, Tom Brady highlights 2008.
Do you have them bookmarked?
Tom Brady haircuts.
Okay,
you know that's
my
happened.
Current Google on this computer here. NBA player who got shot and played the next day, because we're talking about Legs and I were talking about that during a break, that there was a guy, I want to say, on the Washington Bullets, ironically, but named Larry Stewart, who I think, and Legs corrected me, I think he got stabbed and played the next day. J.J. McCarthy, because we talked to Shefty about J.J. McCarthy and how far high up he can go. Mike Tannenbaum's got his new mock draft out, has him going fourth to the Arizona Cardinals, and then them trading Kyler Murray to the Vikings. Danny Garcia, who was a guest of ours earlier in the show.
Great guest.
Who runs the UFL. Then I have DMX songs and Jontay Porter. That's my current Google history here at work.
This is your work computer. I'm wondering what your personal... Well, actually, I don't want to know what you're Googling on your personal computer.
Yeah. You can take it. It is nothing.
Tom Brady highlights. Hoodies on sale.
Wow.
Wait, go through what you assume my top five Google searches would be. Tom Brady highlights. Yeah.
Hoodies on sale.
Tom Brady Super Bowl rings. Just to look at that picture.
I would say, what time does a grocery store open? Like grocery store opened and closed times. Evan loves the grocery store.
Does this sure make me look fat?
Great job, Nuno.
How to look like Fonzie.
And then I would say
his daughter lived on my floor in college, by the way.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I would say the last one would probably be like just heat culture. Like something
just
about
what
the,
comes up with heat culture?
Just what is happening when I Google heat culture.
You're missing
What's
one big...
Pat Riley up to?
Yeah, Pat Riley activity today.
You're missing one big thing on my Google search. No joke.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me think about this. Okay, We've worked together for like 6 months. Guys, feel free to jump in. And Vegas East, if you have anything. I'm going to guess it has something to do with music.
No.
Okay. I was going to say boy bands.
NSYNC
reunion.
Yeah.
Maybe you were curious about that. Okay. So Evan loves the Heat. Check. He loves Tom Brady.
And he loves Hembo. So is it Hembo?
I do love Hembo.
Is it something to do with Wisconsin and the tournament recently?
No. I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm not kidding. I randomly will Google menus for restaurants.
Restaurants that you're not going to?
Well, all kinds of, like, I'm surprised I have not Googled yet the menu for the, you told us that you went to this restaurant over the weekend in New York City. And, like, the way that I am, I would immediately then Google the menu.
But you've been there.
No, the other one you said. You said you went to two places.
Oh, Jeans?
Well, okay, yeah, I wasn't going to give out the name.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I had to inform Bristol East. Or Vegas East in Bristol, that I saw a celebrity there that Nuno has said, if I see her in New York, that he would like me to tell her what's up.
All right. Now we need a camera on Nuno, and we need you to tell the story of who you saw out at a restaurant. Go ahead.
Okay. So we one day were chatting about celebrities, and somehow Emily Ratajkowski came up. And I said, oh, yeah, she lives in New York. Like a lot of people I know see her out all the time. And
beautiful actress, model, author, etc.
She's a slashy. She's very accomplished.
Yeah, she's Cordell Stewart. Yeah.
And Nuno said, oh, if you ever see her out, tell her I said, what's up? And I said, you got it. If I see her out, I will tell her that you said, what's up? And I was out at a restaurant /bar/club. It's like a very cool, new, trendy place here in New York City. And I saw another celebrity that she was dining with. And then I was like, oh, she's friends with Emily with Emrata, as she's known on socials. I wonder if she's here. And then all of a sudden, people were like, oh, yeah, she's over there. And I wasn't sitting near her, so I wasn't able to tell her that Nuno said what's up.
So, Nuno, are you...
So I failed in my mission.
Are you at all perturbed at Smalls for not telling Emily Ratajkowski what up for you?
No, because I get it, because you don't want to be in... You're in a cool, hip spot that, you know, you don't want to be... thrown out, you know, bother the
cool hip spot.
Yeah, exactly. I did that on purpose.
See, on ESPNU, I could watch Pat's face. Whenever Nuno talks, he gets like so antsy to just destroy every word of what he's saying.
By the way, I got a text from our friend Chris Carlin about part of your Google search, just for men hair coloring.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't need to search that because I know exactly where, because I had a different color and then I went to a lesser version of it,
nice.
Like darkest to just dark brown.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're evolving with our hair.
Yeah, color. Yeah.
But I appreciate, by the way,
Robert Sala has given me advice on what to do.
You're following his lead.
Yeah, exactly.
I love
that. Yeah.
But I appreciate what Nuno said because he's absolutely right. I could have stormed over there and been like, "Hey, I'm Rada." Nuno says, "What's up?" But that's not the time or place. She's enjoying a meal with her friend. She's trying to be cool under the radar, not be bothered. I'm not setting my friend and teammate up for success if I throw out the Nuno says, "What's up?" in the wrong environment.
Right.
So I'm just looking out
for him. Otherwise,
he'd
have
you know?
A great shot with Emily Ratajkowski.
I mean, why are you taking shots at me? Thank you.
You just read Carlin's text.
It's from Carlin, not me. I asked him, can I say this on air? And he said yes. So I want you to know. People watch the show and listen.
Well, I appreciate it. I think.
No, you should.
Okay. by the way, we were talking about Mike Tomlin,
correct,
right?
Russell Wilson.
This cut from Mike Tomlin is so fascinating on so many levels. I love Mike Tomlin, and here's another reason why. Speaking of Carlin, big Steelers fan, he explained why Russell Wilson is in the pole position for the starting job.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we are not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, is not only good for him, it's good for teams. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capability.
I cannot love any more what Mike Tomlin said. It is so smart on so many levels because what he's saying is we'll let it play out in training camp, but until we get to that point, who's better at leading a team now? We know the answer is Russell Wilson. We know Russell, and I'm not saying that Justin Fields is not an obsessive worker or anything like that. I just don't know enough about that. I know that Russell Wilson is going to be all in on doing the right things and following Tomlin's lead for the Steelers. So naming him the starter now, pole position doesn't mean you're winning the race. It just means you have the best opportunity to win the race. I can't love a piece of audio and a methodology more than I love what Tomlin just said.
And this is just another example of why he's such a great and consistent leader. Because he told you a lot of information about their process while also having what could be a combustible situation have zero drama. And he satisfied everybody with the answer. He thinks that Russell Wilson is in the pole position right now for the starting quarterback job. Okay, question answered. But when the time comes for competition, we are going to let Justin Fields show you what his capabilities are. We're not diminishing him in any way. He answers all of the questions while firmly stating where they are up until this point, while also in a very subtle way leaving the door open for another one of his players to show what they can do. He's brilliant with this answer.
I still believe, you may disagree, I still believe Justin Fields is going to be the backup and Russell Wilson's going to be the starter day one.
I think you're probably right for day one, but I don't know if it'll be for the entirety of the season. I think Justin Fields will be an omnipresent figure there if Russ doesn't figure it out quickly.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, a lot of money, power, and respect.
Nice.
At the NFL owners meetings. This is not DMX.
He's in it.
And money, power, respect?
Yes.
With the locks?
He has a whole verse of.
Yes, he's in the song.
But Javonte, wait a minute. If it's a DMX Tuesday, we're doing songs that he's been on, not his songs.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, something. Why not?
No, I'm asking. I'm not telling.
Yes.
If we were doing Nicki Minaj Tuesday, I would propose that we lead with Monster, because that's one of the best verses.
Manning Eli. That song? Where she does that?
Evan. Please,
no?
Please.
I'm not sure Evan actually knows any DMX songs. He's questions like most of them coming back. So like, oh, yeah. This is DMX?
Played that a while ago.
Just because someone is part of a collaboration on a song doesn't mean that we can't include it. I love this pick by Javonte.
But if he hasn't done any of the songs that we said are our favorite songs yet.
Yes, he did.
He hasn't done Slippin', right? And then what was the other one that I said was great? Let me go to my Google searches that DMX songs on this here. Who knows what song? I mean, Smalls, let's see, which is the one that I liked there that I was... Oh, How's It Going Down? That's the other one.
Maybe he's saving that for the crescendo at the end.
Okay.
Or, wild thought, he's playing what's actually in the system.
There we go. Boom. Mm.
Okay. Anyway, so the NFL owners meeting is going on right now, and per all reports that are out there, Adam Schefter has it, that the NFL has adopted the new kickoff rules, which I got to be honest, it's hard for me to explain and understand. Basically, you're going to have the offense and defense, the kicking team and the receiving team kind of line up in front of each other, mm-hmm. right? And then the ball is going to be kicked off, and you can't move until the returner gets the ball, if I'm not mistaken. And it's going to look a lot different. And for those people that don't know this or don't follow football in the offseason, just for argument's sake, and then they tune into the first Sunday of the season, are going to watch us and be like, what exactly am I looking at here? They're going to have no idea. It is going to look completely different, I believe, than it has ever before. And obviously, it is based on the attempt at two things: health and safety and excitement.
Yes. But I think it was one of those things that we will reserve full judgment on until we see it in practice.
So like there's a starting line, a setup zone, a landing zone. There's all kinds of different zones that they are going to try to figure this out for the NFL and the kickoff and the kick return, again, to make it safer and potentially to give it more excitement. And the touchback, I'm just reading here, Ben Volen, Boston Globe. The only tweak to the rule was the one approved yesterday, putting a touchback at the 30 instead of the 35-yard line. So more details are coming out as a result of this, but did want to pass this along, that you are going to have new kickoff rules this year in the NFL. All right? Good? Smalls wants nothing to do with these rules. I know you're more of a hip drop kind of person with the tackling. That's more your speed.
Yeah, I was hoping that we would dive into that more of it. No, but with all of this stuff, I reserve my judgment on it until I really see it in action and see how it plays out. Because it could be something that really does enhance the safety of the game while also protecting the entertainment value. But I won't really know until I see it.
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's fine. I think that none of us will really fully understand it until we see it, because it's going to look so different than it has ever looked before. All right, so Jerry Jones is at the owners' meeting, obviously, and he said to media recently, over the last 24, 48 hours, about Dak Prescott, as you address a player like Dak, you take away from his supporting cast. That's not a sales job. Everybody realizes if you get the Bucks, someone else who can help you win doesn't. That's factual. When I think of Dak, he's one of those in the top paid that haven't won, and I think he can. I think there are a handful or more of quarterbacks playing who haven't won a Super Bowl that will win a Super Bowl. I think Dak is one of them. I'm firm there. So Jerry Jones is telling us if we pay him more, other people will not get more money. And Even so, I think he can win a Super Bowl. The Dallas Cowboys offseason has been very quiet. There is no offseason extension for Dak Prescott. There's none for Mike McCarthy. There's none for CeeDee Lamb. There's none for Micah Parsons. They have not gone out there and got the splashy free agent. They did get Eric Kendricks, linebacker, who is a very good player of Vikings and Chargers previously. Mike McCarthy was interviewed by our very own Adam Schefter and addressed the Cowboys' quiet offseason thus far.
Well, I have a lot of experience in not being active in veteran free agency, so I guess doesn't bother me as much. But no, I think it's like anything, and it really is. I mean, you're working on your roster 365 days a year, and that's always been a reality. And I think as a coach, I've really always focused on the guys I know are going to be there in the offseason program, because, you know, you really do have a chance to improve as a football team. You know, I'm a big believer in a second- and third-year jump. You know, we have some young players. We got some guys coming back off of IR that were young players that we're excited about. So we are definitely improving. You know, we're just not part of the free agent market right now.
I find these comments so interesting because it reverts back to his days with the Green Bay Packers and the late Ted Thompson as his general manager. When he's saying, I'm used to not being involved in veteran free agency, the Green Bay Packers notoriously would build through the draft and never really dip their toe in the free agent water. But if he's suggesting in any way, shape, or form, Smalls, that it resembles his days in Green Bay, then there is no indication that they are even coming close to going all in.
No, and it doesn't seem like they are.
Which has been the Jerry Jones mantra for this offseason, going all in. Not even he just compared it to the Packers, who notoriously are never all in.
But this offseason has been very conflicting almost any way you look at it from a Dallas Cowboys perspective. They say they're all in, yet it's been relatively quiet. They haven't made a lot of splashes, which wouldn't indicate that they're all in. Jerry Jones is saying he thinks that Dak is somebody who hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, but he's firm in his position that he can.
Right.
And if you have someone within your organization that you think is a Super Bowl winning caliber quarterback, you would lock them up. Yet the deal is not done yet. The extension is not done yet. And I would just imagine if he truly believes that Dak is a Super Bowl winning quarterback and he really believes that the Dallas Cowboys could go all in, that he would have addressed that prior to free agency starting or at a different point in this offseason.
Yeah, and again, like, what is the definition of all in? Dan Graziano was on with us, ESPN NFL Insider. I believe it was Dan who said this a few weeks ago, and he said the definition is whatever Jerry wants it to be.
There could be different versions of all in.
But what version could this possibly be based on the offseason? Again, if you're comparing it to the Green Bay Packers, and some of the issues forever with Green Bay is that they would not add to the supporting cast. Hey, we have Favre. We have Rodgers. We don't need to spend here. We don't need to spend there. We're not going to get involved in other free agencies. To a point that when the Green Bay Packers this offseason went out there and they signed Josh Jacobs from the Raiders and they signed Xavier McKinney, the safety from the Giants, Packers fans and media were stunned that they made these moves, because their general manager, Brian Gutekunst, who comes from that Ted Thompson, ultimately Ron Wolf, Mike Holmgren school, they never did this. And what I believe in taking the comments that McCarthy made to Schefter is that he's reverting back to those days, and he's saying it's similar to that. In what world would the Cowboys have gone all in this offseason?
Well, also, if their definition we're presuming of all in is to retain the talent that they have, they still haven't necessarily done that. They haven't addressed Dak, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Jerry saying that he thinks Dak can win a Super Bowl, but if you address a player like Dak, you have to take away from the supporting cast. That's factual. Not everybody's going to get paid. So if you're saying that, but then we're assuming that your approach to all in is to retain all the talent, you're also basically conflicting. You have conflicting messaging there, because you can't retain everybody if you're going to pay Dak. So then what does your all-in mean? None of it really connects for me.
All right, coming up, we've got two major gambling scandals in sports right now. We will discuss those next. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What's that face?
He still hasn't played the one we asked for.
I love this song. Where the Hood At?
DMX Tuesday here on Unsportsmanlike. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. CC back with us later in the week. All right, a couple of quick updates I want to make sure we get in here. So Pete Thamel, a tremendous college reporter here for us at ESPN, has reported that the USC head basketball coach Andy Enfield is a target for SMU men's basketball. And no deal imminent, multiple candidates, Enfield expected to be atop the list. So why do I bring that up? One of the things that's interesting about this whole John Calipari situation, now he had his radio show last night. He's meeting with the AD at Kentucky today. Mm-hmm. And it seems like all indications are that he is going to be back at Kentucky. But we've been thinking about, like, all right, if he's not, he doesn't go to the NBA, would there be a college program that would interest him? And it's hard to come up with a college program that would be more interesting for John Calipari than Kentucky. USC is an interesting one for me because of Bronny James and the longtime connection that John Calipari and LeBron James have had. I don't know that USC basketball has enough money to theoretically go after John Calipari, but LeBron does. And if LeBron were to ever get involved in something like that, it's a reckless speculation, right? Like, why would Calipari voluntarily leave Kentucky for another college job? It's hard to imagine, unless they ask him to leave.
Right. But do you think a short-term Bronny James proposition would be enough for him to really consider that as a viable landing spot?
Here's what I would tell you. If you put John Calipari in Los Angeles and Southern California...
He knows how to attract stars.
I mean, my God. Like, if any of these young student-athletes are choosing to go to college and not ultimately directly to, you know, a professional rank and then the NBA or NBA, whatever it is, like, USC will get everyone. Immediately, he will figure out a way of doing. I'm just saying that is where my mind went. Reckless speculation when seeing this. My gut tells me, based on all of the things that we've seen, is that John Calipari will be back at Kentucky, right? I wanted to bring that up. Also, check out Adam Schefter's Twitter. He has the video of the new kickoff. So it's really interesting because they just approved this at the NFL owners' meetings, and I will do my best to describe this here. Basically, you have the kicking team and the receiving team outside of the kicker and the returner is lining up respectively at the 30 and 35-yard line. The kicker kicks the ball, and as soon as the receiver catches the ball, that's when everyone moves. So it prevents, like, the 800 miles per hour guys going at people. We're showing it on ESPNU right now. This is going to catch people off guard if they're unaware that this is happening this year. Really surprise people upon arrival for the first week of the season. But it's definitely worth a try. I find it very interesting now that I'm watching it, Smalls.
Yeah, it is interesting. But again, I'm interested to see it put into action in the NFL and see it from an entertainment perspective.
Yeah, and we'll only really see that when the season right. begins. All right, we mentioned that there are two gambling stories going on around the NFL, around sports right now. One is the one that everybody's known about for the last week or so, and that is Shohei Ohtani. He speaks with the media yesterday, or he makes a statement to the media yesterday, and he denies all wrongdoings. He did not bet on baseball. He did not gamble on other sports. He did not give any kind of consent to the interpreter to take the money. You have had the questions, understandably so, about the idea of, well, how did the interpreter get the information to actually wire the money from his bank account, et cetera, et cetera. In addition, we have Jonte Porter of the Toronto Raptors. He's under investigation by the NBA, per Adrian Wojnarowski's reporting, for two games in particular in which he removed himself from those games within 10 minutes of the game beginning, and both of those games received an abnormal amount of betting, on unders for that game, for his stat line, for the minutes, whatever it may be, and he removed himself from those games, one because of an eye injury and the other because of overall illness, sickness, flu, whatever you want to say. We are not saying that he did anything wrong. We have no idea. We are saying the NBA caught whatever the irregularities are, and they found it immediately, and they're going to investigate it immediately. I want to know from you, Smalls, which one of these situations do you think is closer to conclusion right now? They just began.
Ooh, closer to conclusion.
Right.
I would say the Porter situation, simply because it has been flagged by the bookmakers. They have the information at hand about the influx of bets that came on him on those games. We know the details of him removing himself from those games with a sickness and with a reoccurring eye injury. And I imagine with the bookmakers flagging it and all of the people that work within the NBA that are also monitoring abnormalities within betting, that they have the data points needed to make this public up until this point. So I would imagine with Shohei, this just got kind of put in a news dump on Friday afternoon, that they're just in the beginning stages of all of this and they have a lot that they still need to wade through. So I would have to go with the NBA and Porter.
Okay, so then based on what you just said, that if we're closer to a conclusion or more information on one of these two, it would be Porter, then there would be an indication that we are going to be able to know who placed these bets and if there is any connection to Jontay Porter of the Toronto Raptors, right? If person X placed a bet and the authorities look into it, the NBA looks into it, and they're like, this person has zero connection in any way, shape, or form to Porter. We can't trace them back. It's not a family member. It's not a friend of a family member. It's not in a town that he resides in the offseason or anything like that. Then it's just the weirdest coincidence ever. In terms of Ohtani, the denial has happened. I don't know if baseball is going to back off on the investigation. I would doubt it. But I don't know what the next step is for Major League Baseball with the Ohtani investigation right now.
Well, I imagine that they're on the phone with the bank in question asking about the direct line with this. If anyone from the bank had any sort of checks and balances about who was moving the money from account to account, like, that's where I would go first if I was Major League Baseball, because Ohtani has firmly denied this. You are interviewing Ipe Mizuhara, the translator, but he's shown to have inconsistencies in his story. I would be digging for facts. And the first place I would go, Evan, and what I would do is to follow the money.
Okay, so they go and they follow the money, and I don't know if there's like, if, I mean, I can't imagine he physically went to a bank. He probably obviously did this all online, if you can do this online.
But this is what I can't understand, and I hope that we get details on this, because there's a couple of lingering questions that really pop out to me. Evan, when you travel, if you don't alert your bank, if there's any activity that's out of the norm, the bank will flag it and they call you. Your credit card company will call you and say, are you in Mexico right now? Yeah, that was me. That just bought 12 pina coladas. Like, we're good to go. You know, if I make a big transfer, which I have done before, the bank will check in. There are identity things that you have to go through to ensure that the money gets transferred.
We're talking about
$4.5 million.
How many phones do you think Ohtani has?
How many phones?
Yeah.
I don't know.
More than one? Safe to say he has more than one phone? The only reason I'm asking that question is because if this guy committed this level of fraud, the information that the bank is going to check in on could be a number that this guy has as like, hey, I'm protecting Ohtani. I'll take all the incoming calls. Nobody's going to be able to get to him, you know, directly outside of his family. Like, you said something early in this process that I keep going back to, and I feel like you and others have gone away from. And that is the fact that this is a man living in a country that he's not as familiar with. I understand it's been 5-6 years now, but still not as familiar with. And the translator is his ride or die. It's his A1 from day one kind of guy that he trusts here. And that guy may have set up everything for him. Right, here's the number, here's the address, here's who you contact, here's all this stuff. And this guy may have controlled all of this for this entirety of time, and Ohtani may have been blind to it. Because I don't know, like, $4.5 million to Ohtani is what for you and I? 45? 450? What is it to you and I? Let's call it 450. If $450 was missing from our account, we may not notice it right away.
I don't think that's the comp. And here's another thing, Evan. Yes, I brought it up early in this process because I really wanted to examine this from every angle possible to think, okay, if I was in this position, as suspect as some of this sounds, could this happen to me? Could there be a plausible way that this could go down? And I really do think there is, because you are a person who is going to a different country that speaks a language that is not your native language. You have this person who is your translator that you're reliant on to help you navigate all of this. You become very close with this person, and there's a certain level of friendship and trust that blooms from that.
Right.
I can understand how Shohei Ohtani could be vulnerable and be put in a position to be taken advantage of by someone he trusts, and what, even 5-6 years in, is still kind of a different environment for him. You know, like, even if you live in a different country for a couple years, there's still probably parts of your experience that are different or nuanced in a way. However, I also have covered sports for long enough to know about the ecosystem that surrounds star players. It's not as if Shohei Ohtani and his translator are just two buddies taking on the world. There are a team of people that are put in place around these stars to help facilitate their lives and their greatness. Not only does he have a translator, he probably has a trainer. I'm sure he has a chef. He has a manager. He has, I'm sure, someone that handles his PR. I bet he has a business manager. I can't really fathom a world in which someone who just signed a $700 million contract does not have a money manager or a financial advisor of any sort within his team. And how does all of these other guardrails that are put in place that are there to protect you and be part of your team to help you succeed, how does this get past all of them, including people who work at the bank?
All fair. And I'm trying to believe the good, right? Like, I'm trying to believe the good in all of this, even though I may be totally naive, right? We believe the good in Ohtani, the Jonte Porter situation. Maybe he really was sick. Maybe he did have an eye injury. Maybe he did tell friends and family, I'm going to give it a go tonight. I don't know that I could do this because I'm a mess physically right now. It's awful. I've been throwing up all day, whatever it is. And then somebody says, well, let's take the under on his minutes tonight, or under on his points, because he's not going to be able to make it through the rest of the day. That's the glass half full, naive version of all of this that we'd like to believe. The reality is it's probably somewhere in between with all of this and TBD, right? More information on Ohtani, more information on Porter, but two gambling scandals going on simultaneously in Major League Baseball and the NBA. Coming up, the unsportsmanlike moments of the day.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, Smalls, each and every day at this time, we give our unsportsmanlike moments of the day.
Indeed we do, Evan.
Yes, that is what we do. Do you have one? Is that what? Why don't you tell me the name of the movie you'd like to see? Okay, that's a Seinfeld reference you don't get. I forgot about that.
No, I've never seen Seinfeld. Seinfeld Hive or whatever they're called, don't rise up and get mad at me.
Seinfeld Hive?
Well, whatever, like the crew of people that love Seinfeld.
Wouldn't that be Beyonce? You think Beyonce's fans are named the same as
Seinfeld's
fans?
No, I don't know.
Fans?
I'm just saying. There's like the Rihanna Navy. There's the Beehive, you know.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know what the Seinfeld crew is called.
Seinfeld fans?
Oh, no, but they are passionate, and people get upset that I have not seen the show.
So you know who Shedeur Sanders is, right?
I'm aware, yes.
Yeah, he's the Colorado – I know you are. The Colorado quarterback. Smalls, remind everybody who his dad is.
Deion Sanders.
And how did Deion do professionally in his life?
I think he was pretty good, Evan.
And, you know, Shedeur Sanders played at a small private school in Texas. 6A Texas high school football, where there have been six NFL first team all pros that went.
Okay.
Here's Shador Sanders talking to the media about his underdog story.
I came from a private school, so at the end of the day, I dealt with a lot of negativity, a lot of hate, a lot of everything I done dealt with already year after year. I came from a small private school. All the other kids was going big, you know, Power 5, and they went to big 6A, Texas 6A schools and stuff. I don't see those same kids around. I don't see them excelling in their programs or whatever they're doing. So I've always been against the odds. Like,
I mean, I'm not saying it's been easy to get to D1 and be a starter. I guarantee you this man works like crazy.
He's very talented.
Against the odds, maybe a different terminology I'd use there.
Yeah, you know,
Shador?
When I'm thinking about classic underdog stories, someone whose dad was an all-time great athlete who puts you in a private school who then becomes your collegiate head coach doesn't really come to mind.
Really?
That's not an underdog scenario I'm really familiar with.
Huh.
It's what seemed to me as if, despite him being very talented in his own right and working hard to get where he is, and he's got an incredible future in football ahead of him, that he was probably put into better positions to succeed based on the environment he was born into than, say, the average Joe football out there.
Wow, interesting. You think Jackson Holliday of the Orioles, Matt Holliday's
stud
underdog story?
I don't know if I'd go there.
Oh, no, you would not.
I don't know if I'd go there.
Okay, all right. I'm not saying because you're second in, like, you're second generation of a famous dad or mom, you still can work your tail off and have different adversities than others, right?
Of course.
Underdog story, not really.
Not only do you have an incredible gene pool that is to your advantage, and not only because of who your father is, do you have doors that would open for you that other people may never even get the address for.
Right.
You grew up in an environment where you had access to knowledge and experience and mentors and just the process of how to be a professional athlete that other people do not have.
Okay. All right, next one. Let's move on to something even more interesting. So yesterday we were sitting here and we get a knock on our studio door. The door opens. We're like, oh, wow. Cam from Greeny.
Yes.
10 a.m. to noon Eastern, part of the hashtag two, Cam, hashtag crew. Cam Pratt, wonderful guy, right? And Cam.
We love Cam.
Cam's based in Bristol East. I did what you did.
Vegas East,
a.k.a. Bristol. He rarely, if ever, comes to the New York City studios.
I've never seen him here.
And so much so that he actually had never met Hembo from Greeny. Well,
They had never met
in person before yesterday.
Wow.
Well, their first interaction, courtesy of Greeny, was certainly an interesting one.
In different configuration than normal, Bubba is back in Bristol. Hembo is here alongside. And Cam has made his way down to our studios in New York City. So if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time that Hembo and Cam have been in the same room at the same time.
That is correct somehow, considering we've worked together for over a year now. But yeah, he is as advertised.
And Cam is much more impressive in person.
I told you, he's bigger than you think
he is. He is an imposing figure.
Yeah.
Just taller, not wider or anything like that.
No, you're wider too.
Okay.
You're wider and taller.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Than he expected.
Crank him up.
What did you expect?
I expected less width and about this height. You know, I knew he would be tall, but I didn't expect he'd be this wide.
Okay. Hembo is the most unintentionally selfish and rude person you're ever going to meet in your life. Cam is actually very tall.
Super tall, yeah.
When you meet him for the first time, you're like, whoa, I didn't know. He's like, you know, legit
6'4". 6'4", yeah. He said that yesterday.
Yeah. So you don't notice on radio, obviously, or even when they cut to the shots of him on ESPN app, like, that he's that tall.
Mm-hmm.
To describe someone as wide is so insanely insulting, and Hembo had no idea that that would be insulting.
Can I defend it for a second?
Yeah, I'm going to defend it as well.
Calling somebody wide?
I'm going to defend it, too.
Cam opened it up. Cam was the one who used the word wide first, and Hembo was just sort of going off that.
So, yes, but I also think, like, if you called me wide, we're not going to recover from that. Right?
I would never do that.
We're not recovering if you call me wide. But I think in that context, he was saying that he's more of like an imposing figure. Like I took it as like you're wider and stronger.
You called him impressive.
And more, yeah, impressive, like muscly than I thought. I don't
think
it means
call
like
the
you're
Big
large
Show
and
wide.
In charge.
I wouldn't like literally a WWE wrestler that what's his size, Pat? He's like 7 foot three, 400 pounds, whatever the Big Show
he
is.
He was at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Like I wouldn't even call him wide.
He was wide.
I'm just telling you. I
Nuno used to
that.
Be wide. Now he's not anymore. Now he's skinny Nuno.
He is skinny Nuno. Scuno?
Fluno? Scuno?
And Dino.
Dino. Detroit
Dino or
Nuno.
Duno? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to work on that one.
We're workshopping
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All right.
But if they were saying that you were wide in reference to, wow, you're an imposing figure. I didn't think you'd be this big.
No.
You would take it
Nuno,
positively.
No, I'm curious as to where you are with this because you and I are sensitive with weight stuff, both of us. If somebody said even now, like post losing all the weight and getting, you know, going to the gym healthy, et cetera, hey, you're a little bit wider than I thought you were. That's an insult, is it not?
Yes, but again, we have to defend Hemble here because Cam opened the door, and Hembo, I love him to death, contrary to popular belief, but he doesn't read social cues like someone else on this show and says things and just went with
me.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I didn't think you were talking about Evan.
Jeez,
I don't even know what he's talking about right now.
What
I thought
happened?
He was talking about Pat because they have rivalry.
Social cues, Pat? No, Pat's just you know, he's just mean.
Wow.
Greeny up next. We're on to Wednesday, maybe, some of us.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.